Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're joined once again by...
Joe Valencia, Director of Programming, DC Shorts and Screenplay Competition. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming back in. Now, we talked to you back early this year. It was DC Shorts Wins, right?
We did. That was like one of my first gigs. I'd been here a month and a half, so now I'm a old pro at this. but that was a fun event, as will be DC Shorts.
That was like a best of thing from the previous year, and now we got a whole new crop ready to go. This is the main event.
It is. I'm glad you mentioned the main event. We do things quarterly. We like to sort of get out and about and make sure people are seeing short films throughout the year. So while we do things every quarter, per se, this is really our big event. We're so excited about this year.
Now, this is, we mentioned the main event. It runs now through September 18th. So get out there and see as many of them as you can, because you won't regret it. And your predecessor, John Gann, it was like an annual thing you'd come in for this. I know he stepped down after a while and you took over. And so before we dive into the slate this year, just tell me what it's been like. This is your first full-fledged DC Shorts, but not your first festival. You're an old pro at festivals.
Yeah, I'm an old pro, or that's OL pro. Not divulging
O-L
age.
OL apostrophe.
not divulging age, but... It's been really an easy transition, and part of that is that the core is still around. Paul Marengo's been here for a while, and Kimberly Bush, who is now at her second festival. Kimberly and Paul and I go way back when we worked with Real Affirmations and other film organizations here in the area. And Derek Horn, again, is a professional in the film festival world, so he stepped right in, and together Derek and I took over the programming, and Kimberly and Paul continue to do what they do to make sure that the event and all the associated ancillary events happen. So it's really been fun. It's been interesting. You know, we've learned along the way. We've you know, made some mistakes and made sure that those mistakes didn't translate to anything we do wrong. So I think we got it all right. We're anxious for people to come out and see that.
Awesome. First of all, before we get to the movies, because I want to go through, you know, some of the highlights for sure, because that's what we're here for.
We have many.
Tell us sort of the venues that are involved this year, because I know it sort of changes, and, you know, not only for the movies, but the parties and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. We try and maintain some consistency so that people know where we are, and it's not too much trouble. We try and actually also keep a core. And this year we're back at the East Street Cinema, who's been welcoming for a long time. We appreciate everything they do. The U.S. Navy Memorial, which is, if you haven't been there, is really a nice space. It's very unique. It's very interesting. It's a great venue for parties and for film. And then we're also back at the Atlas Performing Arts Center on H Street. And that's sort of a one-day activity to try and reach out to that community. So we're you know, very excited to be at all of those locations.
Nice. How about the parties? Because I know a lot of the people go for the movies, but they love the parties.
They do. And we have some filmmaker and all-access parties. So if you're not a filmmaker and you're a member of the general public, if you don't have an all-access pass, which really is the best way to see, the all-access pass literally is like your VIP. You get to see everything. You get in early. You get a T-shirt. You get a nice swag bag. And that really gets you in everywhere. But our parties, we have a public party, the Viva Hispanica, which ties into one of our programs on Spanish language films. And that's always at the rooftop of the Carroll Square building, which is a really great venue. It's a wonderful night. You can look out at the stars and the city, and it's just a really wonderful night for a party. The closing reception, which is also open to the public, is on Saturday, September 17th, and that is right at the U.S. Navy Memorial. So it's a nice, you don't have to go anywhere. It's right where the films are screened. And some of the private parties, we have the welcome reception, on animation awards reception, which is, again, a new and unique feature for us. And then the awards brunch. And again, those are private parties, but if you're an all-access pass, you also get access to those as well.
How do we get the all-access pass?
You can go online, www.dcshorts.com.
And what's the cost for it? Is it?
That's $125.
Okay.
Well worth it.
If you're going to go to a lot of screenings.
If you're going to go to a lot of screening parties, and it really is, and you get in advance if you have the exact seat you want. You can get that before anybody else gets it. And all of our tickets and, you know, everything we do is actually available online now, so you don't have to, if it's not the all-access pass that you want. You know, everything's accessible now.
Right. So people can do it. That's what they can do if they want to, you know, do the whole shebang.
Yep.
And it more than pays for itself if you're going to go to a lot of the stuff. But they can also do it piecemeal, right? So what is it per screening?
Sure. It's $12 per ticket.
Okay.
And again, parties have a separate charge. And www.dcshorts.com. I'll plug that as much as I can. That has all the information. So, and also we keep talking about tickets and expenses and things. We also have two free programs that we're very excited about. One is because we always say that while we're national and international, we really are a DC-based organization. We live in the area. We really appreciate the support of the community. And we like families. And one of the things we do is a family showcase. We tie into the local libraries. That's Saturday at 11 o'clock at 7 of the local libraries. And it's really just a way for families.
That's the first Saturday?
That will be the first Saturday.
Okay.
And we bring the families together. We have topics of discussion. So not only do you see a film, but you might see a film on bullying, and then you can actually educate and talk about why bullying is bad. And as simple as it sounds, it really is an effective way to sort of start communicating on issues and ideas that we think are important and that we value as an organization and hope other people, members of society, do as well. The other thing is sort of for the business people who work downtown and may sort of be tired of going to the same old restaurant with their same old colleagues. Not that that's bad.
Right.
But
where do you work? Yeah,
exactly.
The old Capitol Hill expression.
Stand in line at burrito. But a quick 40-minute showcase. So we say bring your brown bag lunch, and they're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And again, they're at the East Street, and it's just a way to see 40 minutes of films and then go back to work. And the unique thing about these is our intern program is very, very involved. We actually get them involved in what they do, and these are actually programmed by them. They saw a bunch of films and said, these are my favorite. We think people love them. So that's sort of another unique twist to that program. But so we just want to make sure that people realize that there are free and community-oriented programs, and we're very excited to have those.
That's awesome. All right, let's dive into the films themselves. The reason
we're
here. First of all, how many submissions and how many did you have to whittle that down to?
We got around 1,348.
Woo! From
around the
world.
I guess that wouldn't be around. We got 1,348 from around the world. Yeah, international, national, local. We have some filmmakers from right here in D.C. and the surrounding areas.
What were some of the countries?
Senegal, lots from France, Germany, Uzbekistan, and even more than the areas of origin, there are really some unique stories about other countries they may not have come from where the film was produced.
Right.
So we really do, and we run the gamut. I always say that while there may not be everything for everyone, there really is something for everyone. And we try and make our showcases so that they're a blend of, humor, seriousness, documentaries, animation. We really do try and make it so that those who are film festival fans and short film festival fans really sort of get the breadth. But almost more importantly, it's the people who say, oh, I don't think I like short films. Well, I don't think you know until you come.
Right.
And we, again, try and give them a good representation of what a short film can be. And in such, hopefully converting some of those people into short film fans.
So how many did we, forgive me if you said, but how many did you have to whittle it down to?
We whittled it down to 131.
Okay.
So it's quite a substantial undertaking, and we use a review committee who helps in that process and, again, sort of gives feedback on – they're members of the community. Some are filmmakers. Others are lawyers or doctors or people who
– who just love films.
Love films. And so it really gets a good representation of what the expectations of our audience would appreciate. And
nice.
Some of them have done it for many, many years. So, again, it's really good to sort of get that feedback and that representation from them.
And if, let's say some of our listeners have never been to a short film festival, explain
Shame
how
on
you,
you
sort of package them together with different genres into, a 2-hour block sort of thing.
Sure. And they're actually about 90 minutes or so. We call them showcases. One of the unique things we did this year, as we were sort of putting together the program, we thought, well, there are a lot of similar, for lack of a better term, themes. And I don't want those to seem like they're really these overwhelming, love and everything is about love.
Right.
It might be an interpretation of love.
Right.
So we sort of, while they're still showcases 1 through 14, they all have themes. Life is a journey, not a race, where all the films sort of relate to living and living life. Slightly Sexy, which are those that may be a bit risque, although
push the envelope
a little bit. They might push the envelope, although I still think if you're 15, you're not going to be freaked out by any of those. Express Yourself. shifting perspectives of how we look at things. So what we made sure we did is we saw all the films that we liked and we wanted, and we didn't sort of force fit them into a showcase. We made sure that they fit sort of that theme, so that we weren't screening things we didn't really necessarily appreciate as much as others simply because they fit the topic. Right. So while I want to emphasize these because we think they're really cool and unique, you know, they're still really, really good films on their own.
Right.
So
you didn't force it in there because of the topic. It just happened that they grouped together.
And we're
well.
Sort of excited about the interpretation of people after they see the films and how they think they relate to the topic. So it's sort of for us very interesting to get some feedback and to really talk to and appreciate what we hear from the audience members.
So in between while the credits are rolling and even when you walk out of the theater, you can kind of ponder how it relates to that theme, the interpretation of it.
Yes.
Love it. Okay, well, what are some of the highlights in each of those categories?
Sure. Well, two of the things, we have 14 showcases, and then we have four what we call special showcases, and I sort of hate to use that word because it means that the others may not be special,
right.
But they really are. Everything is really, again, unique and varied, and we really love everything. But these were really sort of thematic issues, and the exciting part is that we're doing sort of tackling the issues where we use film to talk about broader topics that impact our community and our nation, mm-hmm. And one of those is immigration. And the films all relate to immigration, but yet the panel discussion and the topics we hope to bring up are real life issues, like how difficult is the immigration experience? How difficult is it to immigrate? What are some of the issues they go through politically? You know, who is advocating for those? So we're very excited about that. You can, again, see the films and then use those to take mm-hmm. the broader look at the issue. And then technology addiction, which I think a lot of people, you say that and they kind of go, you know, they chuckle. But they really are real life situations.
They chuckle as they look down at their phone.
As they walk into a car.
It's so true, yeah, exactly.
Or into a hole, yeah. You know. And so, again, it's most of these films do look at the funnier side of things. But then again, we have people who can really talk to the issues, psychologists who say, you know, here's what we can sort of do and how we counteract that by disconnecting and how we disconnect. So we're really excited that, again, we're using film as a broader tool to spark debate.
Nice.
Well, we have
give me some examples of some of the movies.
Yeah. it's like so difficult because I get so excited. You can probably hear it in my voice. I get so excited about, you know, all of the films that
you can't wait to show us all of them
that we're screening.
So definitely go on. I mean, we're going to name a couple, but definitely go online and check out the whole, you know. The whole schedule here.
Yeah. The other thing for me is comedies often get a bum rap because they're not seen as, yes, I laugh, but are they really a great film? And I think we have some that really are. And so I'm really excited to see what people think about that. But Tommy and David is a documentary based on a man who got just incredibly motivated by David and figured out how he could merchandise what he saw. And it's quite well done, but also quite funny. So if you can imagine the David on boxer shorts.
Okay.
I know this is radio, but your mind could probably go there.
Theater of the mind.
And again, it's just a really sort of unique take on that story. We have a couple films that deal with Alzheimer's and sort of memory loss, which, again, theoretically, you think, oh, my God, this is going to be such a bummer. But right. They're so well done and they're so uplifting. And one is called Where We Begin, and it's done through dance. And it's sort of just this beautiful portrait of somebody, you know, sort of going through that process and the loved ones around it that's just phenomenal. Another one called Fragile Storm sort of takes a different look where you're not really sure what's happening, and then slowly the story unfolds to be something that your mind probably never went there to begin with.
Right.
We have a lot of those films that I call them sort of genre bending or genre twists, where they start out one thing. There's another film called Mine that's it's hard to sort of give you the elevator pitch of what the story is without giving it away, but it starts out being this delightful story between an elderly couple. And then turns into something very, very, very different.
Wow.
But again, we have a lot of those, sort of genre twisting. Get the F, and I only say that because I don't think I can say the rest.
Right.
Out of Paris is another one, and that sort of is in our technology addiction program, which talks about sort of the way we interpret texts and what may or may not be actuality.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's this wild ride through through mixed messages via text. Documentaries. One of the things we were really excited about is documentaries and animation, where we think this year we just have a really strong crop. Pickle is another one that I think if you read the description or if you hear me talk about, you'll sort of think, interesting.
It's called Pickle?
Called Pickle. And Pickle is actually a fish that can't swim.
Whoa.
So Pickle lives in a sponge standing up his whole life.
Is this animated?
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's a little bit of animation.
Okay.
But this is a story of two people who just love animals and take in stray animals and take care of the stray animals who all die, but who often die a really bizarre death.
Okay.
And they just keep, it's like one story after another. And at first you're going, is this a mockumentary? Is this a documentary?
Right.
Did this really happen? And then after about the 12th animal that meets his demise, you just are like laughing out loud, yet you really are totally taken in by the story and these two wonderful people who just continue to have this devastation, yet they get complete joy out of what it is that they do.
Man, Pickle. That one's called Pickle. We've heard of Fish Out of Water tales, but that's
it's
literally a fish out of water story. Yep. Oh, that's great. Any more? Is there a couple others? I mean, you've done a bunch.
Yeah. Balcony is a film from the UK that, again, takes sort of the... And I think we've seen sort of the reason for the story before. It's the, you know, the underserved, the tenement, the projects of the working class might be a better word in the UK, and sort of their relationship, how one girl refuses sort of be taken into that environment and sort of creates a world of her own that is a very special world. And it's just a beautiful, we have a lot of films that are beautiful. I talked about Where We Began, Wildfire. There are just some films that really are so beautifully shot. Hopefully you appreciate the story and the style, but
right.
There are just, we have so many films that are just so beautifully shot that if nothing else, you can sort of step back and look at those and go, wow, that was, you know, such a beautiful film. So.
And if you're an aspiring filmmaker or just love watching movies, explain sort of how you can use this whole week and a half here, 2 weeks,
yeah,
10 days, 11 days. How they can use that to sort of, you know, brush elbows with filmmakers.
Yeah.
How there's actually, you know, some good networking opportunities.
Absolutely. We have a lot of filmmakers who come into town from all over the world. So they'll do a Q&A, and if you are lucky enough to get to a party, you can meet them and talk to them. Also, things beyond film, I talked about some of our ancillary events. We have film and filmmaking seminars, and those aren't just specifically for film. Some of those are. We have things for filmmakers like, you know, camera work and lighting and those types of things. But if you're an aspiring film critic or you love film, but you thought, I wonder how I could be a film critic, we have a panel for that.
Who's on that panel? Do we know?
That's people from the Washington, D.C. Film Critics Association. So
oh.
It's actually people who do it for a living.
Do you know the names? Because I know them well.
I don't. And again, Paul Marengo is the person who puts together these wonderful panels. And there's so many. I think one of the things people may not realize is the amount of film and the level and the quality of film and filmmakers mm-hmm. and people who work both sides of the camera here are really amazing. So... That's, again, if you're not a filmmaker, but you're a film lover, and then actors, there's a couple ways you can get involved. Actors, on September 17th, there's a conference that basically, and again, it's everything from what I might call entry level, like your headshots and your resume and how to craft those,
right.
But really some unique perspectives and ways to learn to hone in on the craft. But also, we haven't talked about one of the second part of our name is the DC Screenplay Competition. And we actually have a call for screenplays. We got around 100 screenplays this year.
Wow.
They go through a vetted process, again, a review committee.
These are all short scripts, right?
They're all short scripts.
Yeah.
And
like 15 pages max? Is there a max?
There really isn't a max, but the thought is that they do come out to be about 15 pages. The thought is that it's going to be made into a short eventually,
right.
So it needs to be sort of succinct.
Does the winner get money to make
the
short?
The winner does. We get $1,000 at time of the announcement and then another $1,000 when they go into post-production. And we really, you know, we're so excited when a film that is being made from the screenplay competition actually is finished and comes back to us. But if you're an actor, you can go to our website and look for our casting notice, because we're actually casting the live table readings for the six finalists for the screenplay. So that's a long day for those people. But there's a 10 o'clock audition, then they rehearse, and then they come back that night to table read. So we do six live table readings. So it's really interesting. If you've never been to a table reading, it's sort of a phenomenal way to see something, because you're paying attention to the words. You're not necessarily paying attention to the action. So it's a really unique sort of way to sort of process. And then interesting also to take that, even though you're not, those particular screenplays aren't the screenplays from the films you'll be seeing, it's interesting to see how you can sort of translate what you see on the written to what you see on the screen.
Or if you come back to next year or a couple years later, you will see that. I mean, I've seen that happen a lot of times, go to the screenplay competition. Well, it used to be separate, right? The one I went to, it was two separate events.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe a year or so ago, they got combined into the All One Festival, which I think is smart.
I think what we try and do, again, is to really reach out to various members of the community and sort of be an inclusive festival. Mm-hmm. And again, while we do events throughout the year, this was just something that seemed to fit for the festival, and again, sort of being the highlight of the second weekend, along with our Best of DC Shorts, which is sort of a way, you know, if you haven't seen as much as you might want to see, these are the things that were deemed to be the best of...
the cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop, if you will. Yeah, and that takes place at the Navy Memorial. And it's just, again, a really good way. And... to throw out another way to see the films, if you're, I don't know, hearing this in Bermuda or wherever, although I think U.S.-based, we have a online film festival, and that's a way to watch about 75 of the films, so you don't have to come, although we prefer you to come. But if you're traveling or you can't otherwise watch these films, the same time frame as the festival, you can go online and watch.
That's really cool. Just to stream most of them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we like to say that part of the experience is actually, you know, being elbow to elbow with people and to have the filmmakers there. But we realize that's not a possibility for a lot of people. So we found that this is a really good way to still show viability of short films, show how great short films can be without actually having to be here.
Right. And it's not one or the other. They don't have to supplement each other. They can complement each other. Maybe you can only get out to two screenings, but then you can watch the rest online, or, you know,
exactly.
You can do both.
One could spur the other. And we see that happens. So
that's so cool. I'm sure the screenplay competition, it's, you know, you've already have your scripts chosen this year, but about, let's say, for next year, or, you know, what about the date do they submit?
Most of the things, if we shoot for about January through May, might be give or take a week, especially or a month on the early end, but we try and wrap everything up by May, because it really is a long process to sort of, we review as things come in, but sort of towards the end is when everybody sort of gets their stuff together and go, oh no, I need to, I'm about to miss the deadline.
Yeah.
So,
you narrow it down to about, what, five for the table read, or what is it?
We went from about 100 to 12, and then everybody who has reviewed reads the 12.
I see.
And then we come down to the six.
So it's six for the table. Okay.
It's six for the table.
Well, I just want to, you know, if there's aspiring screenwriters out there, come to this, see, you know, what the high bar it is here, and get the wheels turning, and then they would submit in like early next year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And perfect. And there's no, you know, we'll get a couple scripts from different people, and again, I don't think people realize two of those finalists are actually ones from Chevy Chase, Maryland, and ones from Arlington, Virginia. So I don't think they realize that there are aspiring filmmakers and aspiring screenplay writers. And again, that's one of the points, I think, of what we do, is really engage in the community to see the network opportunities and see the possibilities. And some of these may be screenwriters. That might be what they do. Others might be, as I said, doctors or lawyers who are aspiring script writers or filmmakers. So it's also interesting to see sort of the various levels of, you know, the passion involved, and that people really get excited about the opportunity to make film and to write screenplays. And
speak sort of to that a little more, because I know you guys have accepted, you know, films from all around the world, and it is an international festival for sure. But talk about sort of just the vibrant DC filmmaking culture that some people might not even know about or take for granted.
I think the buzzword now is the creative economy.
Yes.
And it's true because it's not only necessarily filmmakers and screenwriters, but it's live theater. It's people who are doing fine art. And these all are people who are sort of contributing to making DC a culturally vibrant city that it is. And if you're not familiar with not only what we do, but there are just so many wonderful organizations who really support arts, and it's a crazy vibrant town that I don't think people really realize. I think they still think of us as a you know politically sort of stuffy environment, and that's not the case, and hasn't been the case for a while. But
unless you listen to WTOP, of course, then they know all the great entertainment.
That's
actually
very true. It's people like you.
We just launched a podcast called Capital Culture. So it's this whole idea of the creative economy. So I'm right there with you, man. We got to highlight this.
Yeah, and it's and we try and do it at every chance we can. We try and not only work with other film festivals and other festivals, but we really do try and support the community to better the community. And, you know, I don't think there are many organizations who are really sort of like, you know, I'm above that or I'm beyond that. It really is the fact that everybody's sort of pulling together to increase the creative economy and to get more people to move here and to get more filmmaking. You know, there's always been a great documentary community with Discovery and a lot of independent
and Nat Geo.
And that's great. And it's like, why can't that filter down to more narratives and more shorts and more, you know, screenwriters? And so I think in sort of working together, and you know, there are some governmental organizations that are starting to advocate, you know, and I think with that will come some funding, which is still somewhat difficult. But again, we try and work together to create. We think that a better creative economy in DC certainly benefits not only the community, but it benefits us as well. So it's sort of a double thing that we really want the creative economy to succeed because the festival succeeds. Yet it really is bettering our society. So we're totally excited.
I really think so. And I think there are a ton of creative and really smart, educated, cultured people here and of all stripes. I mean, very diverse too. So I think DC's like the secret weapon, man, you know? And
it is.
You think New York and LA and, you know, Broadway and Hollywood, but there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, and some people are just realizing that they can do what they do in New York and Los Angeles. And it used to say, and they could come here and do it cheaper, which isn't always the case anymore with cost of living and such.
Right.
But it's still, because those people are starting to move in more and more, it's sort of increasing. It's upping the game. And, you know, again, we couldn't be happier about the things that are happening and anything we can do to keep that. You know, keep that train rolling. We're very excited to do. And the things that you do with your show and your highlighting of the entertainment is really important also.
Well, I think what you're doing is a little more important, but
we work together.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us, on a personal level, tell our listeners what the festivals you ran before coming here and how
it's been cool again, sort of reuniting with people who I've appreciated, you know, their work and their careers. And so to be able to come back together and then working with Derek, who's sort of the breath of fresh air, we might be the three old stooges or something. And then Derek comes in and always provides that sort of comic relief and sort of the new guy perspective. So we've greatly appreciated that as well. But I worked for the Rehoboth Beach Independent Film Festival for 16 years. So have really loved and appreciated. And again, it's similar in the sense that the community is so supportive there. It's a little different because it's a much smaller community.
Right.
So you're like the big fish.
Right.
And here, we still have a huge support of the community. We'd love to continue to work together to get more of a community. But that to me has been really a unique experience, and I'm looking forward to sort of working with the community here to, as I said, increase that sort of awareness. I did Real Affirmations, the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival in DC for many years, and again, goes back to Kimberly and Paul days. Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas is one of my new festivals. Gay and Lesbian Festivals in South Florida, both Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And then I've done a lot of consulting work on international festivals, really who are trying to start festivals, similar to what John did with Sunderland Shorts, which Sunderland in the UK is a sister city. And we worked on the Sister City Project, where we tried to find ways for DC to work with the sister cities. And this was sort of a wonderful transition for us to be able to do that. And this is year two, and we'll actually be screening those shorts in the festival as well. And we're always looking for ways to branch out to sort of help support, you know, startups. And by doing that, it sort of brings us back to our roots, sort of to where we began. And, you know, we might be old hat at this, but there are always new ways and different ways and things to sort of hone your skills. And that was one of the ways that, you know, again, it's good to, in helping others, you're sort of helping yourself. So
definitely. Well, and help others, remind them how they can find out more and the tickets and all the details.
Everything is on www.dcshorts.com. If it's not on there, it probably doesn't exist. The website is great. It's very informative. Again, not only can you learn about the films, but the parties and the All Access Pass and how you can have access to the online festival. So, and all information can just continually updated on there. So if you've checked it once, you might want to check again and see what new and exciting things are happening. But, you know, we'd love to say that we put the fest in festival. It's not just about the films. We use the films to do other things, parties, Q&As, you know, filmmaker interaction, and just really have a good time through film. Film is sort of the common thread, but we do a lot more than just film.
Awesome. And again, it runs now through September 18th at the U.S. Navy Memorial Heritage Center, at the E Street Cinema, and over at Atlas Theater on H Street. And again, find it all on the website, which was
www.dcshorts.com, as well as our beautiful program guide, which is available all over town.
Awesome. Take us out by why should they come? If they've heard all this, they're interested, but they're not sure, they're on the fence, what gets them there?
You gotta come. It's film, it's food, it's fun, it's drink, it's merriment, watching films with your best buddies or your new best friends. So we really encourage it. There's something for everyone.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having us.